Coming up on Patriots This Week. For Patriots fans, this was an October homecoming that should have never happened.
It's a great place. I mean, I love being here, and I love being a quarterback of this team.
Intent on crashing the party, Cincy counted on a familiar face in New England.
Throws the crosser, catch by LaBelle, touchdown for Cincinnati.
But Tom Brady's return came with some collateral damage to the Bengals' defense.
Runs right to the 25, to the 20, to the 15, to the 10.
Man, he makes, you know, any quarterback look good.
But most important to me is getting that win, and it was a great team win overall.
This week, it's a marquee matchup in Steeler country, hoping to put a black and blue on the black and gold.
I'm sure we'll get a real warm reception there.
Now it's time for Patriots This Week.
It was the toughest ticket in town for some time for the New England Patriots fans. Long-awaited arrival of Tom Brady back at quarterback at Gillette Stadium, and they got a chance to see Brady and Rob Gronkowski record a couple of milestones. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Patriots This Week. Bob Soucy with former Patriots quarterback Scott Zolak, my radio partner at 98.5 The Sports Hub, and Matt Chatham, a three-time Super Bowl champion. So Tom Brady comes out. Eventually, the offense gets going, guys. Three touchdown passes for him, a performance that includes his 5,000th career completion, and Rob Gronkowski with a career-high 162 yards receiving, including a TD.
I think we need to look at everything in a big scope right now. Three different quarterbacks, three different starting quarterbacks have won games early in the year here. But this is Tom Brady's team. And when Tom Brady came back, first thing he did was set the plays at the line of scrimmage. I think he checked out of nine plays. I didn't think he was going to be as clean as he was, Bob, meaning feet around the pocket, accuracy issues. He completed 83% of his passes this past week. That's how good this guy's been without having football away from him for 4 weeks now.
That's a good defense, and I think the fact that they punched pretty well in the first two series, and the Patriots were stunted a bit. But I think the way that they counterpunched, they came back, they went to the sideline, made adjustments. The things they did after they sort of come up against the script, that was the really cool part.
Well, let's talk about what necessitated those adjustments. Pat's got a field goal on their first possession. Thereafter, we saw Brady hold the ball frequently, trying to move around, looking for open receivers. Couldn't find any.
I thought they did a good job covering underneath, meaning short zone, short man. They were getting a little bit of pressure, which forced them outside the pocket. And I thought Tom did a really good job not wanting to force the ball down the field. You force the ball down the field, give them a turnover, give them a short field. Now, all of a sudden, Cincinnati really feels like they're in a game.
You spend all week practicing. You develop a game plan. You have this big thought of how it's going to go, and things change. And I think in this game, Martellus Bennett was only on the field. Check me if I'm correct on this, but I think of the first 11 plays, he was just out there once. So they came with a little bit of an idea of, okay, we're going to try 11 personnel. We're going to spread out with more receivers than they've seen on tape with us. It won't be the Gronk and Bennett show they've been practicing for a week, and it didn't go so well. I mean, I think that they sort of got it. I mean, you know what? They said, let's go back to sort of our core competency. Let's do what we know can kick their butt with. And they went back there and they adjusted and it worked well.
Yeah, the Bengals got the Gronk and Bennett show in the second half. What were the keys to their emergence in the game?
Size. Absolute size. Mismatch. Gronkowski's health, Bennett's health. They're matched up on linebackers and safeties. That's where Tom's going with them to the ball. When Gronkowski is grabbing the ball, swatting guys away, getting into motion, running down, dropping the shoulder, then getting up and kind of laughing, that tells you he's about 100%.
You know, the other thing too, Matt, we often look at the play live and say, why are they giving him a free release? And then you watch the replay and you see guys are trying to jam those two at the line of scrimmage, but it has no effect slowing them down whatsoever.
I think in today's rules, they don't allow you to be as aggressive as I remember being allowed to do, but you need to get in their mug and you need to be able to play them from the side. I think the hard part is if you try to play a guy like down, straight down the middle, they're so good with wiggle to go left or right of you. You need to be able to, I'm taking outside levers, I'm driving right down into the tackle box. That actually works, but it's tough. It's a gamble. You whiff and he goes 50 yards the other way.
Now the three touchdown passes by Brady, two of them to James White, one to Gronkowski in between. And the concept seemed very similar on each play, though.
Yeah, and Cincinnati never adapted. Three straight touchdown passes all three times. It was the same play. White to the right offset to Brady. Gronkowski's the tight end. You go trips left. You got a corner sitting there, and you got a safety. Rob releases, goes right up to that corner and safety. If that corner sinks, boom, right to James White in the flat. Two times they didn't cover him, covered him to third, then they went to Gronk.
It's when you have layers like that, when you have elements top and bottom, the fact that they just kept sinking on the deep one and allowing the low one to go, that was silly.
But for Tom Brady to compartmentalize the way he does he ever cease to astound you? I mean, here's a guy coming back for his first home game of the season. Everybody's amped up, teammates, fans alike, and yet he was so under control, so relaxed, yet focused in that game.
I got to get the books that he reads. He reads these help books and truisms and however the heck he eats. And you want the guy to just come out and bleep you, stick this or stick that, and he just takes the high road. He's the perfect, perfect player.
We've seen Tom do the full speed run.
The pump.
Nah, he kind of just chilled. It was crazy. So, man, he's got more emotions than, you know, all 53 from the things that have happened to him, yet he keeps it inside.
His counterpart, Andy Dalton, got up to a perfect start, 10 for his first 10.
He throws a really good ball. So A.J. Green's ability to get up, the backs have the ability to get up, they have a tight end. I didn't like the way the Patriots didn't hammer him. They didn't jam him at the line of scrimmage. It was a free release pretty much every time. And Andy Dalton basically took what New England gave him in that first half, and it was all checked out.
One of the things I would sort of point to that I think could help them that they're probably working on this week is pocket control. You can't allow him to escape up and back out, right? He's not going to escape out the back of the thing or around the edges, but there were too many times where, early anyhow, where he was just simply stepping up, sliding, either escaping for conversions or making throws that way. And why I know that they adjusted is two of the biggest plays that came in the game. The safety is a game, you know, just a delay game right into the guard and center, so it's up the middle of the field. The part you don't want him leaving on. The third down conversion, the third down stop later in the game, late in that fourth quarter that they absolutely need, was a game right over center. The point is, put your pressure where he likes to go most.
So, Matt just referenced the safety. Turning point defensively, Pats are down 14-10. Since he has just had a penalty, nullifying a first down, backed up to the 8, and it's Dante Hightower who gets to Dalton.
And the mindset of Dalton, you're backed up, you know where you just had a holding penalty. Right. We're going to be in the end zone. If anyone's near me, I got to throw this ball away, and he didn't do it.
And I think it also puts a lot of pressure on them, and I think that's when we saw them start to frazzle. A little bit of unraveling happened. It's like, wow, they kind of caught us with one there. Here comes that Patriots offensive train. And I think, again, as an opponent, I felt that here. When you feel a little momentum in that building, you realize who the guy is on the other side, you know you missed the opportunity in one series, and then you miss the opportunity in a second series. Panic sets in. It's just natural here.
It's not panic time yet, but there still is some cause for concern for a guy we usually count as automatic. Steven Gostkowski has missed 3 field goals this year.
Well, Bill's rule is don't make the same mistakes over and over. Correct those mistakes. If you make another mistake, well, you make it. Steve's not only missed kicks during games, he's missed kicks for PATs. He's missed it in Carolina preseason. 2 more of these, Bob, and we got issues.
He did miss the PAT. We haven't seen him do that. I think that's obviously in this league generally inexcusable. But he also made both of his field goals after that miss, and he also continued to kick. Yeah, and he also continues to kick really well, so kick off really well. Look at the field position they net each and every time by placing it just perfectly. In that game, he had a net positive effect, I think, no question. Obviously, you need that point. Obviously, it's something he'll continue to work on. Steve's a golfer. I think anyone who golfs, anyone who does these sports where it's repetitive motion, occasionally it's off, right? But I think net-net, he's far and away a positive for this team, even when he's missing one of those. I think he'll turn it around.
As we talked about, an emotional day at Gillette Stadium. Unfortunately for the Bengals, they could not control their emotions late in that contest. We'll talk about that right after this on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management, remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of. Waste Management's new Bagster, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Dante Hightower. The Patriots co-captain got the defense on the board in Cleveland with an end zone sack of Cody Kessler. And against the Bengals, the 6'3", 265-pound linebacker played his best game of the season. The 26-year-old out of Alabama had 13 tackles, and his third-quarter safety sack of Andy Dalton sparked the comeback. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Back inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios as Patriots This Week continues. And on Sunday, as the Pats took control of the game against the Cincinnati Bengals, once again, Vontaze Burfict and company lost their sense of self-control, guys. We learned a lot more when we had a chance to see some of the video from the coach's tape. Vontaze Burfict takes a dive at Martellus Bennett's knee, his back of his left knee, and then he stomps on LeGarrette Blount, and yet in the course of all that, two Patriots draw penalties, Rob Gronkowski and LeGarrette.
Yeah, and I was wrong on that one. And I said Rob did everything right, and somebody else lost his poise, and it was me and the booth, because you see your offense playing a perfect game, and you see your big players, guys like Rob Gronkowski, finally getting emotional. And I think that's as close to healthy as Rob can be. And when he plays with emotion, he gives it a little back. I mean, he's a guy that's getting banged around in it. So if you're going to throw the flag for him saying something, I have an issue with that. If he throws the football or leans over somebody, then you got something. But perfect, the hit on Bennett, I could maybe see him try to talk his way out because of the pump. The stomp on Blunt, inexcusable. That's where he's a dirtbag player.
And he has a history. Punk. He's got a history. He's been suspended for three games already this year, fined previously as well for his flagrant acts.
Yeah, and to be honest, the thing that he's done in the past on any other hit pales in comparison to the Bennett hit. To me, it's not even close. And for this reason, linebackers read quarterback's shoulders. When you read and you think, you get faked out. You don't get faked out, take three, maybe four steps, take a dive at the end from 5 yards away. That's BS, right? So and here's the greater issue. There is sort of a fraternity of players in the league that are linebackers. They're the tough guys. You know, the guys that are mid-sized that have to hit guys that weigh 320, they have to hit the big dudes on the rundowns, direct hit. That hurts, right? That's, you have to have a sense of something about you to go do that. So on one play, you're doing that. The next play, you're a snake in the grass on a 260-pound guy with his back to you. Are you kidding me? It's cowardly. It's nothing more than that. Because when linebackers, you weigh 250, he weighs about what you weigh, and he's got his back to you. You live for that. You love that. It's the greatest thing in the world. It's a big bacon cheeseburger right there just to go gobble up. Guys don't do that. That was just a cowardly move.
I didn't have a problem Pac-Man Jones going low on Rob to get him down.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Different.
I think
that's
Rob
different.
Was just excited he got up and start talking to him.
This is a guy with a history of those kind of actions. Then you talk about some other guys around the league who are being penalized for just having fun.
Dumb.
In the case of Vernon Davis of the Redskins, he takes a jump shot after he scores a touchdown. And I understand there are crass actions. Antonio Brown of the Steelers has been penalized a couple of times for those. But this is a guy who's just having a little fun out there. And certainly didn't seem to be over the top.
As long as you're not showing somebody up, as long as you're not using the football as a prop. The problem with Vernon Davis was he was using the football as a prop. Problem was, that changed field position and ends up changing the score of that football game. Now you screwed your team.
It's a great sign, though, of why the NFL doesn't get it. Okay, understand that this is the new year where
they got you on a technicality.
This is the new year where two unsportsmanlike penalties count towards ejections. Understand, what Burfict did to Bennett would count as a personal foul. A little unnecessary roughness. Actually would not count against the two ejections. He can do what is, in football terms, one of the dirtiest things you can do on a football field. That actually wouldn't count. You know, would have? Faking that. That makes absolutely no sense.
You guys have been on the field. You've been in that fray. There's a lot of talk that goes on.
Yeah.
Of course.
Talk about your mama, his mama, my mama, how big my mama is.
So it's not just linebackers.
Oh, no.
It's everyone.
No, twisting your legs. They know what the injury report is. Yeah.
Well, I think that's an important point, though, with the stomp. I think it's worth mentioning that it's totally filthy to stomp, right? A stomp is going to break your skin. It's going to give you a deep bruise. It's going to hurt. It's not going to feel good. But I think most guys in the NFL would prefer to be stepped on, which happens a lot, that have their knees blown out, especially from the back.
When we come back, we'll talk about a team that for a long time in the NFL has represented toughness, the Pittsburgh Steelers, right after this on Patriots This Week.
Time now for the Zoe Show. Real excited this week because of Ben Roethlisberger. Going to Pittsburgh, my hometown. I was going to do Big Ben. I'll do the next best thing, Little Ben. And let's go to the tape here. Le'Veon Bell. Stop it right here. It's exactly what the Patriots do. Offset to the side of the quarterback. Trips. Guess where the cutback's going? Backside. Watch this right here. Takes forever to get through. He's not a bursting running back, but he wears you down. He picks his spots, and he has the ability to find daylight all the way down the field. Now, look here at a counter. So here we go. We got pulling this way. He's going. Two big guys coming this way. Where's it going? This way. Nope. Because we got Le'Veon Bell. Play's always alive. Stay home. Read your keys. That's not Roethlisberger making that block. So we handed him the ball twice. The best thing he can do is catch the football. I think he has 20 catches. Little flex motion right here. New England does the same stuff. And this is the matchup you want. Linebacker on a running back. Guess what he's going to do? Little hitch move. Throw it up. Go make a play. So no Ben Roethlisberger. You know, Coates is cut up. Martavius Bryant isn't there. I know one stud is. His name's Le'Veon Bell, and there's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
We're in the bottom at Discount Furniture Studios. Patriots This Week continues as we look ahead to Week 7 on the Pats' visit to Pittsburgh. There will be no Ben Roethlisberger for the Steelers. Instead, it's Landry Jones at quarterback, but he still has Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. Potentially dangerous team coming off a very embarrassing loss.
Yeah, I forced him to get the ball to Antonio Brown. I think what Bill does, and you've been on the defense, is you take that one thing, that one target area away that other team does well. And going into this game, I got to think it's Le'Veon Bell. So if they could get eight around the line of scrimmage, concentrate on him, be cognizant of when he lines out, you better get a cover guy on him and not a linebacker. Take him out of the game and make Landry Jones beat you. If Landry Jones beats you, then he beats you.
I would call it even bigger than Le'Veon. I would just say the running game in general, because you could have some potential matchup issues. We'll monitor this throughout the week, but Jamie Collins' availability, I think, is a big deal, because that's a really nice matchup on Le'Veon out of the backfield. And they also have D'Angelo Williams there as well. So they could say, hey, we got our guy gone. Our Big Ben guy is not here, and that's why we're unusually good. But let's make this a two-back thing. Let's just get as many mismatches on the field as we can. Go two-back. The tight end doesn't matter to them. There's no more Heath Miller. So that was a security blanket for Landry Jones and the times he filled in the past. So maybe just sort of push the amount of personnel mismatches you potentially have and just try to survive with the quarterback you have. I mean, I think that's probably all they have at this point.
This isn't Dick LeBeau's defense, okay? Yeah, so you're down your quarterback, playing at home. It's the Steel City. You got a great fan base. That place is going to be amped. Brady's coming to town. You got special teams. You got defense. You have the guys on offense we talked about. Find a way to win a game.
They'll figure out a way to still be competitive.
They're not, exactly.
Their guy gone and now they're an 0-16 team. That's not that kind of deal. So I don't think you should overlook him because the quarterback's not there. They could still gut one out. I think absolutely. I think the bigger issue, though, that the Steelers have, to me, it's more about performance than players, because a week ago, they gave up 200 yards on the ground to the Dolphins. Jay, a guy who had never had a 100-yard game, was really a little bit of a disappointment thus far, goes, doubles up his new career high. So if they can't stop the run, I think that'll be interesting to watch with LeGarrette Blount going back to the place he was, running it down their throat. They'll clock control and just rip them apart, and it really won't matter what they do with that offense.
Well, that's the thing. With Jones at quarterback, he might be able to manage the game, but he's got to find a way to outscore Tom Brady and the Patriots.
Play his game, that's all. Don't get in a shootout with Tom.
Now, regarding Pittsburgh, you know what it's like. Heinz Field, the atmosphere. Zoe, you grew up in that area. The fans are rabid about their team, to put it mildly. How difficult a setting is that for a visiting team?
It's very difficult. Terrible towels, it gets loud, and it's at one end zone. There's an open end zone heading right for the river, and that's the one where it tends to swirl, and that's where we got to worry about old number three.
Yeah, it's a difficult environment, but I wonder if this took a little of the juice out of it, to be honest. I mean, this is one of the preeminent games on the entire NFL schedule for the year. People have been calling the Steelers early in September a Super Bowl contender, potentially. This is that game.
Nance and Sims are doing the game.
Yeah.
This was supposed to be the CBS game of the week. I wish Ben was playing.
So for that, and I do too. So I think for that reason, it's really important for the Patriots to not allow that crowd to get into it. Give up a series of two or three early, a score, get behind 7-10 points, something like that. I think that re-involves the sort of Heinz atmosphere.
And as I concur, though there may be less juice, still a lot of importance when it comes to home field advantage in the AFC playoff race. When we come back, Matt and Zoe will tell you about the outcome and the game changer with their predictions right after this.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Jeremy Macklin is poised for a breakout game. The Chiefs' wideout was a washout in the rain in Oakland last week. But start Macklin for a big week at home against the Saints. But a rookie QB against a stingy Minnesota secondary is not a recipe for success. So keep receiver Jordan Matthews out of your lineup when the Vikes come east for some brotherly love. This week's sleeper is Tevin Coleman. The Falcons' back should see the end zone when the Falcons come home to play the San Diego Chargers. This week's fantasy update is brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
It's the Patriots and the Steelers in Pittsburgh after the Pats beat the Bengals. And Matt Chatham and Scott Zolak, you guys were nearly perfect with your predictions last week. So what say you, Matt, about this Sunday's game in Pittsburgh?
Close game early, Patriots open late. They cannot keep up. 34-20 Patriots, and I'm going to keep pushing chips to the middle of the table. It's going to happen eventually. Julian Edelman is going to be the guy. The relationship is just too good between he and Tom, and he's just too good a player.
Pump the brakes there, Jules. My game changer is the tight ends. Three touchdowns in a red zone, 34-21, scores almost identical. Patriots win this one. I want to say easily going away.
Rob Gronkowski had a big night against the Steelers last year in the season opener. Pittsburgh's had a tough time covering tight ends. For Scott Zolak and Matt Chatham, I'm Bob Soucy. Thanks so much for watching Patriots This Week. We'll talk to you again next week. So long, everyone.